Can you go ahead and speak, please? We're just trying
Hi, folks. Before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission.
Beautiful. Wait, we're good. Okay. Wait. Now I don't hear her. She's going in and out.
Thank you, Mr.
Sometimes
Harris.
I hear her, sometimes I don't. Is this a short in the auxiliary?
Try again.
I don't hear her.
Can you hear her now?
You should have your hits so you can hear her, but
no,
I can't hear her.
Any of you are aware of this. But it's a federal offense.
Now I can hear her.
To make lascivious remarks.
Now I can hear her.
On a television network broadcast.
But maybe when you push it in more, I can't hear her. So you're doing something. Hold on.
The penalty.
Wait. We're gonna have to do that.
Can you say something, please?
For this disgusting.
I can hear you now.
Un-American!
Now I hear her, like, right there.
Is 1 year in prison.
Now I don't hear
through
her.
Through the headphones?
Or $10,000 fine. Or both!
Here, you do it. So
yeah,
you can
we're gonna give it a shot here.
Anyone!
What?
Making you sick.
Can you hear me?
Subversive remark tonight. We'll be arrested.
Okay. And I can't hear you.
To federal prison. For booking under edict number 364 of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
It should be this one. This is the small mixer. Let me try this. Can you go ahead and speak again, please? It's not. She's still speaking, but it's not. You can keep speaking. Thank you.
Okay, have fun, buddy.
Okay, we're going to have to do this creatively. We're going to have to crank up
Brendan
the volume
Wolf.
On
You're currently
here.
Listening to WGXC, April, 90.7 FM, coming to you from Hudson, New York.
Acro Studio. This is us.
Top, bottom.
Why is that?
What's over here?
This is up here on aux 3.
Okay, but she's... What is she? What is this? Aux what? What is that? What does it say?
Hello.
Oh, it's working. Okay. We got it.
You're listening to Radio
Hello.
Wonderland.
Hello.
Live.
Hello.
We're good.
Can
we're good.
Me?
We're good.
Radio
I will shut up now.
Made from radio.
Tops, bottoms. Tops, bottoms.
Tune in Joshua Free's Radio Wonderland Saturdays at 10:30 a.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM for a live remix of New York City Morning Radio on WGXC Creative Community Radio.
Oh, wait, what do I call you? Kimberly? Ms. Irwin? What do I call you? Okay, all right.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences in both Rhinebeck and Saugerties. This December, be culturally altered by films like Queer, All We Imagine as Light, and The Cruise. Information at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Benice Wijesgood of Stuyvesant, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
The choice is yours. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. I think you can get with this, because this is where it's at. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. I think you can get with this. Where's the black sheep? Here's the black sheep. Even if we wanted to, the fuck cannot be. Watch me swing like this. Why should I swing it like that? Because in fact, on me it might not attract. Therefore I ignore, do as I feel inside. I live with me, I've got my back tonight. You know what I'm saying? Yo, black, I'm not playing. Need to go with this and go with this with no delay. And see, in actuality, wonder can it be? I made it look easy because it is to me. Anytime capacity was filled, tried to rock it. Anytime my honey gave us
black sheep with this or that. And being that it's Christmas, one could say, why on Race Talks are we playing this song? But you will know, because I'm going to share with that. Sure, you share the reason with that for you. Good evening, my friends, family, and community. I'm thanking you for joining me, Kimberly Y. Irwin, the host of Race Talks on WGXC 90.7 FM, which is a wayfarm.org enterprise, where every third Tuesday of the month from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., we have the very necessary conversation on race and ethnicity. And I'm always being asked why talk about race. And I'm always answering, it's simple. We must combat, boom, 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 racism. And in order to do so, education is key, which is good because we have a great educator on, and discussion a must. And now we're going to get talking because here,
no topic is taboo.
Woo-hoo-hoo! And who are you hearing? My wonderful guest talker, Dr. Jamika Nadina Love, and I'll share more about her in a moment. And of course, you heard our producer, Garrett Roche of the Roche Solid Truth podcast, which you can find on www.theroshesolidtruth.com. That's a lot of words, but Garrett, I think we're going to do something a little bit differently today. Why don't we share right now what the number is for people to call in during our roundtable? People, we do not want you to call in now, but we definitely want you to have the number available. So, Garrett, can you please share that with our audience now?
Absolutely, Kimberly. Thank you. Be honored as always. It is area code 518-622-2598. Again, that's 518-622-2598. If you'd like to build this bridge of positivity with every nut and bolt you can find.
And you know what else I'd like for us to share, but not right now, but in a few, how they can actually give, because this is a giving time, a time for giving, right?
Certainly.
This is the holiday. So maybe we can also share how they can give to our wonderful station, WGXC 90.7 FM, which, as I said, is a wayfarm.org enterprise, but it doesn't run on fumes. It runs on support from our wonderful listeners. So we're going to get that information for you at a little bit later when we have a little break in the conversation. But we have a wonderful show today, and so there's not going to be too much of a break. We shared with you this an intro with this or that, and the reason is because we're going to talk about how you can get with this or that. And what is this or that? Well, first let me share that our theme is gratitude, equity, and action, affirming inclusion in education and beyond. So I think most people can get with education. They can get with that. But how do we get to equity? And what action should we take to make sure that we get to equity? And why during this time of year and every moment of every day that we're breathing, we should show gratitude? So that's really what this show is about. And we are talking with the idea of illuminating. And sometimes when you illuminate, it's not all hunky-dory, positive, you know. But definitely the whole entire show is about taking whatever you find in your life or in the world or in our country or wherever, taking what you find might be negative and turning it into a positive. And that's how we get to gratitude. And how we get to equity is checking people and checking actions and checking terminology. And that's what we're doing with the talk term affirmative action. Affirmative action, many people think of it as a historical relevance, particularly in education. But in 2025, which is just around the corner, it can mean something totally different. And starting with now, I'm looking at what does this particular term that I feel worked for me when I was going to college, affirmative action,
helped to affirm me and my identity when seeking higher education knowledge, because it allowed me to be seen by those people who wanted diversity in education, which was important because the world was becoming more diverse. You could see it in films, you can see it in movies, that before you looked at the screen and you saw people who all had the lighter complexion of skin color, right? And then more and more you started seeing one or two people who were people of color in the movies, although we always said they died first, right? It's like you didn't see them throughout the entire movie. And then you started seeing more and more. And now we're even seeing people of different ethnicities and people with different skin tones actually being married on the screen, having children on the screen, being in almost every commercial you can see. So one would think, yeah, we have equity. You know, we see people all the time. And what's the big deal with this affirmative action? We don't need to talk about that anymore. And the thing is, if something is working, you don't just stop it and then expect things to continue to go forward. Once you stop things, maybe it turns backwards. Or if you stop it and it didn't get up to speed, then you're just reaffirming that inequity is what you're seeking to accomplish, in effect, keeping things as status quo. So I want to look at this term really quickly, and then I'm going to bring in Dr. Jamika Nadina Love on air to share her truth around this term and more. So I was talking to my producer and Garrett here, and we were talking about affirmative action, and I brought up that President Clinton affirmed affirmative action in the 90s. And that kind of dates me, but that's totally okay. Some of the words he used to talk about affirmative action came from the fact that many people were against this particular title. And I will say what they said it was. Affirmative action, which began as a government remedy to the effects of longstanding discrimination against such groups as African Americans, women, other minorities like Native Americans. And so this longstanding discrimination consisted of policies, programs, and procedures, laws really, that gave limited preferences to minorities and women in job hiring, admission to institutions of higher education. Like I said, it helped me. Awarding of government contracts, which it still is prosperous in utilizing today. So when you say affirmative action is not necessary anymore, then that means that the inequities have changed. The percentages are different. And when we look at hiring in the corporate world, clearly there has been a large group who has prospered since then, but not percentage-wise to the way it was intended to be to ensure equity. So what do we have to do? Do we still need to have affirmative action? And again, that word affirm is a positive word. So I would say even if it's not a government thing, we should still look at affirming something and being actively motivated and moving towards that role. I wanted to also mention, when we talk about affirmative action, it was a law, the law. It was actually a law of the land. So many of the laws that were produced were to keep Black people and white people apart, were like segregation laws, not being able to get married, and then not being able to even live in the same street or block together. So the Supreme Court reversed affirmative action, it was a big deal. And so when you have the president at the time, in 1990s, mid to late 1990s, President Clinton having to make a speech on why affirmative action was good, you have to scratch your head. How can affirmative action, which means to affirm someone, to make, which is a positive, ever become negative? But we don't have to go back that far to 1990s. We know that right now there's a term called woke. In fact, there's a comedian who termed his show Woke Folk. W-O-K-E-F-O-K-E, which is a play on the word. And what he said was, and I should say the comedian is Cat Williams, and what he said in his, I think it's Netflix, his Netflix comedic show, was that the term was an affirmation of Black people to say, now we are awake. We are awakened to understanding ourselves and what we need to do to prosper in this place. And then we have this government entity taking the word woke and making it negative. How? And he goes, how can you make the word woke, meaning awake, negative? He says, the opposite of woke is sleep. Do you want to be asleep at the wheel? No, you want to be woke. So, again, we're looking at these people who take these terms that are positive in culture, and when looking at ethnicity and just the whole racial understanding and awareness of humanity. It's affirmative action wasn't just for Black folk. It was for everyone who needed equity in space, women, white women, Native Americans. Even when you bring this pie to the table, other people to the table, you make it larger for everyone. So even white males prospered from affirmative action. Everyone gets wealthier or gets better when we have equity. So that's what the term means to me. And like I said, you don't have to just listen to me and understand what the phrase affirmative action and the positivity that surrounds that word for me. We have a guest who can share more about that with an education and everything. So I do not want to mess up how I introduce her. This is a fabulous human being who so graciously came to our show. So I am going to be very generous and make sure I say who she is very, very clearly, because she's not just an advocate for education and inclusion. She is dedicated to fostering diverse and equitable environments everywhere. So Dr. Jameika Nadina Love, thank you for being on my show. This is a woman who is recognized as one of Virginia Business News's 100 people to meet. Woo-hoo-hoo! And I met her. This was awarded to her in 2022. She empowers organizations through dynamic keynote talks, impactful training programs, and personalized coaching. Dr. Love's influence extends nationwide, having served as the first chief diversity officer at Virginia Military Institute, where she implemented pioneering DEI initiatives and collaborated with communities to create inclusive spaces. Very hard to do in the military, so that's very interesting. A co-founder of African American Women in Higher Education, New England, she supports the professional development of Black women in academia across the region. Through her business, Higher Dimensions Consulting, Dr. Love continues to mentor BIPOC individuals and leave a lasting legacy as a consultant, a speaker, and educator. Thank you, Dr. Love, for being on the year-ending Race Talk show. Woo-hoo-hoo. So you're very prominently special for me. Thank you so much. Please share
with... Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Please share with the listeners what brings you to Race Talks and the talk term affirmative actions, how you feel about it, maybe particularly within education and in general. And I'm going to throw you something. DEI has turned into a negative term. So you go, girl. Doctor, tell us what you think.
Absolutely. So thank you, first of all, for having me on your show. Really excited. People wouldn't know this because people write dissertations all the time and people don't really read them unless they have to, you know. So my dissertation was on race-conscious affirmative action and missions policies at predominantly white institutions. So I was thinking about this and writing about this long before anybody was talking about let's overturn it in the Supreme Court. They weren't even focused on it when I was writing about it. And then in my theoretical framework for my dissertation, I used critical race theory, CRT. Nobody was talking about it then. Now people are talking about it, right?
Right.
And people have demonized that term, CRT, just like they're demonizing DEI, affirmative action. What they're trying to do is say, these are bad things. These are negative things. You talked a little bit about the term woke, right?
Right.
People need to understand that what is happening is they are taking positive terms, oftentimes from underrepresented communities, and then twisting them. So woke was a call, one Black person to another, hey, make sure you stay woke. Make sure you understand what's happening in your community with your people, with other Black people. That was where that term came from. Same thing with politically correct. That was a term that a feminist, a woman would use for another woman. Hey, anything you do, make sure it's for the advancement of other women. Politically correct. They demonize that. So lots of times what people are trying to do is turn what really is a very positive and holistic and thoughtful terminology and say that these things are wrong because they don't want to see that progress for people, particularly Black people, Black and brown people. So when I think about affirmative action, one of the things that I like to point out is that long before many of the presidents that people think of, FDR in the 1930s talked about affirmative action. And I want to clarify who he was talking about. White male union labor workers. So this was not about people of color. This was not about Black people. This was about white male union labor workers and what he was saying, because those union labor workers didn't feel like they had, they were getting the same opportunities. They felt like they were being discriminated against, and FDR talked about it. So oftentimes we like to connect, like I said, certain terminology to certain groups of people. And that's not the case. If we look at the evolution of this word, then when we get to all the way to the 1960s, the 1964 Civil Rights Act, that's when we put more teeth to the term affirmative action. And it basically refers to policies, practices, and laws that are to address historical, systematic oppression of those who are underrepresented. And made sense that at that time, and still today, that was Black people, right? But right. The wonderful thing is whenever you do things to help people who are underrepresented, other people come up. It's almost like if I bent over and you stood on my back and I was bent over, but if I start to stand up, you go up. You're on my back.
Yes.
So that is the way affirmative action evolved. So in 1967, they added women. Before it was just race and nationality. Now they said, no, we got to add women to this as well. So white women were also benefiting exactly. from affirmative action. And sometimes I say this all the time. Sometimes human beings don't understand when they are facilitating in their own oppression, right? So if you don't understand something is benefiting you, you might literally vote against it or not vote for your own benefit,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
So affirmative action has gone through these evolutions, but it is something that is absolutely has made a difference and made a change. And I don't want to talk too long, but I can even tell you what I read today about affirmative action and the impact it has had on Harvard Law School. So I know I'm talking a lot.
No. Repeat what you said about what happens in Harvard. You said,
yes, Harvard Law School. So since affirmative action was overturned by the Supreme Court in 2023, and I want to specify,
recording in progress.
This is race conscious affirmative action admissions policies, right? So since they overturned it, colleges and universities aren't able to use race in a factor when they're considering admission. What happened at Harvard? Well, the numbers went down for Black students. Why? Because what you did is you said, we can no longer use this. So now this is impacting Harvard University And that's where the case was, right? Students for Fair Admissions was this case in 2023. And so that has shown up in the numbers at Harvard Law School. The other thing that continues to happen, and people don't always get this, is that what you can still do is there are programs like Upward Bound programs. So you can still have programs that outreach to underrepresented communities. You can still do things like that. You can still have scholarship programs that help first generation low socioeconomic groups, but you can't consider race in that. So there are still things we can do, but that does cause institutions to have to think about how do we still get the diversity that we need, because you need it. If we're only exposed to people just like us, I don't care who you are, right? People just like you, you don't learn, you don't adapt. Your intellectual ability, because one of the definitions of intellect is the ability to adapt. So how can I adapt if I've never run into anything different, right? And so what students are doing now is they're coming into these universities. They're not as diverse because we don't have affirmative action. And so what I tell universities oftentimes is, let's go to recruitment, right? If you cannot use race in terms of making a decision with admissions, you can recruit. You can recruit underrepresented communities. Make sure they know that you want them. Make sure they know your institution exists. Make sure they fill out an application, because the more you have folks who are underrepresented, chances are the more you're going to get individuals who are underrepresented to be accepted to your institution. Again, you're not using race as an admission, but you are saying we want to make sure that we have some diversity in terms of the students that come to our institution. So that's one way to try to think about affirmative action. Now, I particularly like to talk about affirmative action in the context of higher education, but it also touches employment, right? It touches housing.
Yes.
Now, the Supreme Court, when they were talking about, they were focused on this race-conscious affirmative action admission. But we have to understand, this is a snowball effect, right? Once you tell institutions and individuals, oh, no, you can't do this anymore, then people also get nervous. So now people want to be careful in employment and housing. And this is despite the fact that we have had history, centuries of Black people being discriminated against in terms of housing, in terms of employment. But yet now people are saying, oh, whoa, we don't want to do this DEI stuff anymore, right? Walmart, one of the biggest employers in this country, no longer wants to do DEI. They dropped their DEI program. They even had a whole center. People need to understand that Walmart was, I was hoping that they would be the lead in this, right? They would be able to set an example. But Walmart dropped their DEI. Why? We're demonizing those terminologies. And oftentimes people don't even know what those terminologies mean.
Well, you ask them, they absolutely don't normally know
what DEI is, or DEIA, or JEDI, if you want to be a Jedi, you know, justice, equity, diversity, inclusion. People don't always know what the terminologies mean. So it's then easy for me to give you a definition. You say, oh, well, that's helpful. Diversity means different. Whether you believe it or not, I'm different from you, period. So it's not whether or not you want it. It's a fact. Right?
Right.
I am different from you. That is a fact. And then when we talk about inclusion, that's just about making sure everyone's voice is at the table, that everyone is included, right? And then equity is seems to be the vowel that people don't like. I don't know what it is with that E.
It's positive. People like division. If with division, yeah. Everything goes up, right? With division,
yep.
The numbers of people who read your articles, it's like you like That's to drive right. by the accident and everyone's stopping to watch. Even, you know, even if it's a negative thing, people still want to watch. So that's the reason why. And people seem to, I don't want to say get off on negativity, but
it pushes their agenda. The negativity pushes their agenda. And if the agenda is, I don't want this DEI anymore, if I make it as negative as possible, people stop doing it. People stop talking about it.
Well, I think this is a good segue into sharing the information about why I chose this or that as the opening song. I received a small clip of a very disgruntled African-American male who seemingly was a Democrat, because he was sharing how, in his opinion, the people who voted for Trump wanted it both ways. They want to say on one hand that there should be rules and regulations that need to be followed. Mm-hmm. And if someone says something, that it should be, they should do what they say. But on the other hand, when that person is a person that they supported, and they don't necessarily follow through or do as they say do, then that's okay. So this mm-hmm. young man, well, I'm not going to say what he said. I'm going to play what he said, just a few minutes here and there. And then I'd like to be able to talk about it on the other end. And on the other end, it would be the start of our roundtable. And at that point, we will have our producer, Garrett.
And also hopefully generate some call-ins.
Exactly, with the number. So here we go. Pardon any language that you don't like, but hey, let's keep it real on Race Talks.
So Joe Biden made the conscious decision to pardon his son. There's an old hip hop song from my generation, as you can see from all the grays. And the hook went, you can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. America, you cannot have it both ways. Either the law matters or it doesn't. Either the code of conduct for presidents matter or it doesn't. Either the president is held to a standard or it doesn't matter. It's one of the two. You said you wanted somebody that could secure the border. In your mind, that was Donald Trump. You got him. You said you wanted a stronger economy. And in your mind, that candidate was Donald Trump. You got him. You said you wanted somebody to make America great again. And in your mind, the candidate to do that was Donald Trump. Here's what you don't get. You don't get to throw all the rules out the window on behalf of that candidate. You don't get to skirt the system on behalf of that candidate and then expect everyone else to toe the line. This is conventional wisdom. I'm a basketball coach, and I understand with children, let alone adults, you allow bad behavior from kids or from parents, it turns into a snowball effect. It is not sustainable. And so if you want to let one child be a diva and do whatever the hell he or she wants to do, just know that there's going to be a trickle-down effect for those actions. If you're going to allow one parent to be a tyrant, to run everybody off of the court, to do and say whatever they want to do and say whenever they want to do and say it, then be prepared for the blowback, because you're going to have problems from other parents. This is what dealing with kiddie basketball, let alone politics, right? I look at Joe Biden's decision, and I can tell you exactly what he was thinking, no matter what the official statement says. If this dude can have 34 felonies, if he can pay off the porn actress with campaign-financed funds, if he can be found liable of sexual assault, if he can say, just grab women into so-and-so and be all on radio for it, if he can say all that he said about everyone that he said it about on the campaign trail, if he can put all of these unqualified folk in cabinet positions, then why in the hell am I letting my son go to jail if you, the American people, have made it clear in large numbers that it doesn't matter, that you don't give a damn about right or wrong, that you don't care about the code of conduct? Now, you voted for him, you got him. You don't get to dictate what everybody else does, because I'm telling you, not because I'm a guru, not because I'm Nostradamus. I'm telling you that from a common sense standpoint, if you let one powerful person do all of the crazy shit that this person has done and continues to do, then that will become your norm. You see the way the Republicans, if you even want to call them that, have normalized this behavior? You see the way that so many Americans have normalized this behavior? Let me give you a local example. There's a young lady, young Hispanic lady on city council here in my hometown. She put a post on social media and she compared red MAGA hats to white KKK hoods. All she had her say, she had everything under the sun to say about people that voted for Donald Trump. Because in her mind, it made no sense. And she made a couple of judgment calls. Now, I'm not going to say whether or not that was right or wrong. It was her prerogative. A whole bunch of people in red hats stormed City Hall, crowded the room, and demanded that she step down because of her callous words. Demanded that she step down because of her judgmental words. Are you kidding me? Do you know how utterly stupid you sound right now? You won the election. You got your guy. You traded decency for it. You won your election. You got your guy. You traded political germaneness for it. You won the election, you got your guy. You traded anti-bullying for, you see what I'm saying? You threw it all out the window. You can't get it back. You can't unring that bell, right? The standard is forever changed unless and until America steps up and says, wait a minute, this is unsustainable, right? Bad behavior in an official capacity, especially an official capacity that wields great power, is not sustainable. Especially in a country where there has been a standard of some sort for an extended period of time. And so you open the floodgates for that candidate. You open the floodgates for that cohort of people that all follow behind him. And you think you have the luxury of just sitting back and saying, yeah, we got it like that. No other people are going to follow suit. You act a damn fool, I'll act a damn fool. You want to break the law? I'll break the law. You want to act like decency is not an issue? Then decency is not an issue. You want to step in my face and say, fuck you. Guess what? I'm probably going to step in your face and say, fuck you back. That's the kind of society we're in now. And so Joe Biden pardon his son, it is what it is. That's your disposition with everything that Trump does, correct? I'm not trying to be controversial, but you are literally getting what you asked for. What did you expect? This is not going to be the last time this happens. You're watching Trump continually overreach, do things that are not just unconventional, but just downright not smart. Right? And you think that there's not going to be blowback behind this. And so I say to you, especially those of you who voted for Trump, get used to this reality. You wanted conflict on a regular basis. You got it. You want a rule break on a regular basis. You got it. You want a tit for tat on an official level at the highest level. You got it. You wanted to see a military that was led by somebody completely unqualified. You wanted to see a school district that's led by somebody completely unqualified, for a central intelligence unit to be led by somebody completely unqualified. And you don't think there will be mutiny behind some of these decisions? You really think all of our people in the military are going to follow behind Pete Hegseth? Do you really think people from across the country are going to get behind a fucking the Secretary of Education? You signed on to this stupidity. Excuse it however you want. You signed on for it. Other people are going to do them in return. So you got two choices. You can either learn to live with chaos from everybody, or you can make the conscious decision to say, let us return to normalcy. You can get with this or you can get with that, but you cannot have them both, right? And so if you're belly aching about this, shut up already, because you got what you asked for.
Okay, that was a bit, but you can get with this or you can get with that. And that was one of the things that I thought he made clear is some of the things that you brought up, Dr. Love.
Yes, the fact pardon that, the cursing there. It's
I thought we took that out.
When it's a new... yes.
We did try to take that out.
But he didn't. But
we don't want to mention that. Unqualified. Positive. So he was... he mentioned the fact that there are people that we may find in the government that aren't qualified. So when you looked at affirmative action and it was, you know, you got hired because of affirmative action, you know, quote unquote, as if you weren't qualified for the position because you were of a different ethnic group than what came before. So, you know, but again, get with this or that, the fact that we haven't had higher education, like you said, you were saying that there were, we want diversity in higher education, but there are also quotas that are there for people whose grandparents had gone to that school and mothers and fathers have gone to that school.
Legacy
babies, right? And so that was never brought up to court. You know? But was there a law for that? See, that's, there's no law for that, so that can't come to the Supreme Court. Why is there a law for something that's affirming people? There should never be a law that's necessary to affirm people. But the fact that we need a law to affirm people is a recognition that we don't affirm people. That we allow people to go to school because their grandparents went to a school. There's no law for that because we affirm that. We're okay with that. That makes sense to us. If you're wealthy, then you should be able to go. I wanted to bring up the fact that in education, well, there might be a head of education that isn't exactly qualified to lead higher education administration, and what your thoughts are about that. So while I allow you to think of that, I wanted to also mention that Rachel Maddow on her show just yesterday, made a statement about the richest man in the world, the multi-billionaire, Elon Musk, and the fact that he is close like glue to the future president of the United States. And one wonders why he would be that close. Now, Trump ran for presidency before and he won before, but there was no Elon Musk there. So what's the big deal? And I always say follow the money. And what she did was exactly that. Well, actually, she followed the car crashes. And it turns out, and it's not funny, but so I'm not laughing because it's funny. But it turns out that Tesla, out of 45 car crashes, Tesla had 40. And we know that because they issued a rule that if you have a self-driving automobile, that we need to, as a government, as people, understand how well that that car is working. And so we found that out. We found that there were many more car crashes fatal pedestrian car crashes, fatal car crashes with people on motorcycles. There was a car crash, or I should say a car that ran into a high school student when she was getting off a bus. So many different accidents. And it's important to recognize that because people need to know if this car is, or if this type of vehicle is worthy of being driven. And our government is set there to protect us from these types of things. And basically also to help the company to let them know, hey, this isn't working. You need to do more training on that, or, you know, have more people
testing and preparation.
Yeah, and more people take a look and see, you know, if this is something right now that can be useful and utilized for us. But what I think she said mostly is that there are unqualified people that Trump has around him to do the work, the bidding of the government for the people. And how is that affirming us? How is that make, you know, I think if you have a billion, I think they said he paid $250 million to help Trump win. That's $250 million that could have gone so many different places. A lot of multi-billionaires have money. They help people in Jamaica, I was going to say Africa, with, you know, making sure they have the right health care for their children, for babies, for pregnant women.
He could have used it to test more Teslas so that they wouldn't get in.
Exactly. But to do that, you can't have that much money because it costs money and time to do testing. In fact, there was a letter or a, it wasn't even a letter. It was a email or, I'm sorry. It was, I think, not a TikTok. What did he use? A social media. Oh, his social media platform now that he shared with the people who bought a car and say, hey, right now you can go out and drive this car, you know, let the car self drive. And what happened? Where was the testing for the people to learn how to do that self-driving, to utilize the self-driving car? Either way, it costs money and time is money. And if you don't want to test, who do you use? The very people as the guinea pigs, right? And that saves time and money for the company, and they could throw it out and make people pay for these vehicles. I'm saying all that to say is, how is that qualifications? How is that a qualified person?
Absolutely. I had someone, I was hired for a job, and I want to say, you know, I didn't get an honorary doctorate. You know, some people get those. No, I had to write it. I had to do the
research.
You
got the real PhD.
And so after that, I have 20 years of working, over 20 years of working in education. And a parent said I was an affirmative action hire. Stop. Can I be an affirmative action hire? Because I'm Black. Okay, that's what you mean. Mm-hmm. Because I'm qualified, I've got more experience and more degrees than other people sitting around me. Wow. So I'm most definitely qualified. So sometimes, though, we pick people who are unqualified because we ourselves are unqualified, mm-hmm. right? If I don't know the skill sets that's needed to do a job or accomplish something, then I'll pick anybody. Oh, you look good. Oh, that's a nice person. I like your hair today. So you pick somebody without the qualification.
Or
so
thank you for the $250 million.
Exactly.
Right.
So that is then you get it because you have money. Now, if I got something because there's a historic oppression and systematic oppression, I don't deserve it. But you deserve it because you brought it. It's the same thing. You can get with this or you can get with that.
Holler.
Let's not act like these are two different things. So I think we should get back to, and I want to say this one last thing, because I worked in education for, you know, as long as I can remember now, and doing diversity work. And one thing that I keep getting to at the end of the day, and especially with young people, they need to understand, to truly understand and embrace this whole DEI piece, they need to start with themselves, just like everybody else, right? So instead of trying to, oh, let me go over here and do this march and be with this, no, you need to understand who you are, because I can't tell you what your bias is. You know it. It's implicit. It's in your mind. So you need to understand more about yourself, what has shaped you as a person. And oftentimes when you're going to college, it is often your family, your community, the people you grew up with, your high school. Now you're going to a different world, throwback.
Right, and, there you go.
And you're going to have a different experience. But you need to really understand what your purpose is and understand who you are in order to then embrace this diversity, equity, inclusion. And I think that's why you have so much fight, is some people, and they long past college, they don't even understand who they are. So they're fighting against me around who I am.
I am like snapping, because actually that could be a whole nother show. And I would love that. Love to have a discussion on that alone, because I recall hearing or reading how Harriet Tubman said she could have saved many more slaves if they had known they were slaves.
That's right.
I mean, it's interesting about that. And we're going to continue this roundtable by introducing the telephone number so people can call in to ask us questions or to share in what their thoughts are, because I want to have the talk right after that be a little bit about Kamala Harris.
All right, let's all spread the love here. Just like Dr. Love, please call in 518-622-2598. Again, that's 518-622-2598. And I so resonate with Dr. Love's words, because I often say the best medicine next to, of course, the old expression, laughter is the best medicine. The best medicine next to laughter is to look oneself in the mirror.
Oh, and share how, if they are enjoying this conversation and other shows and programs on this station, that they can do a Merry Christmas to us and help fund the station.
Oh, absolutely. Positively. Let's have it. They're welcome to go to WGXC.org and click the red donate button. They can do a one-time donation, which is more than appreciated. But extra special is if you become a monthly sustaining supporter, as myself, proud to say. And also they can donate via, I believe it's six, another number specifically for donating, 518-697-7400. And they also can post via old-fashioned snail mail to WGXC Studio, P.O. Box 23, Accra, New York.
Thank you.
And I'll,
oh,
would have to look back at the zip. It's been a little while. All but right. Definitely WGXC.org/donate or 518-697-7400.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Garrett. So,
you're so welcome, Kimberly.
Kamala, on the last show, I made it very clear that you could vote for Kamala Harris just because she's a black woman. You could do that. Why? Because she's qualified. And if you, I mean, just this fact that she is vice president makes her qualified. Many a vice president became president just by being the vice president. But she also has other qualifications and skills. She has degrees. She has years of public service, gaining in leadership. She ended before she became the vice president. She was a senator. She ran for presidency. She made a good case for herself. So this last point where people are like, we had no idea who she is. Oh, or we have no idea she's African-American. Does she even know she was African? Stop it already. Right? But again, here's a qualified woman, clearly qualified, but she has to prove she's qualified. I'm liking it to what you're saying.
Absolutely. They made her jump through hoops that Donald Trump didn't have to jump through. Let's be honest. And some people vote for him just because he was a man. So let's be clear.
Or just because he was white.
That's right. Some people
just because he was rich. Well, most of them because they thought he was rich. But he never showed his
pockets. He'll help them get rich, which is not good. Right? So identity politics, and we'll say that other people, people of color or people who are underrepresented are using identity politics. No, when you say Haitians are eating cats and dogs, that's identity politics. When you say asshole countries in Africa, that's identity politics.
You
when
better
you
speak.
Talk about Mexicans being murderers and rapists, that's identity politics. So let's call a thing and let's name the truth about how people made this decision. So it's not a very good excuse to tell me I didn't know who she was. You know what I learned in school? Homework. If you don't know something, go research it. Go find out. Because you know what? You're accountable for your actions. And this is your accountability. Like the man was saying on the clip that we heard. This is it. You voted for this. This is what you have. Now let's see how you like it.
You can get with this.
Well, you can get with that.
With that.
But you can't have it both ways.
I say come with this. Come with us. Let's join the positivity community. We're going to make this happen, my friend, because we don't get up and see those people and heads of state and power every day. We see our friends, our families, our neighbors.
Yes.
The mirror must be turned on the audience, the most important thing.
Yes, and we like to end segments with, you know, right action. So I'll share one of the things that I think during this time right actions would be. It's in the theme of the show. I'll reap gratitude, equity in action, affirming inclusion in education and beyond. My thing is, and what I underscore is gratitude. The fact that we who did vote for someone, we are standing, like you mentioned, Dr. Love, on the shoulders of someone who propelled us higher. So the fact that we're able to vote, yay, right? The fact that you can vote for whomever, for whatever your reason is, hey, yay, right? And so this season, I'm giving gratitude that I was able to vote for an African-American woman.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, and that's why I share with the audience another time, Kamala Harris's name, because she will go down in history as someone who has allowed now the next person to stand on her shoulders. So this, she's remarkable. And though she didn't make the cover of Times Person of the Year, she very well could have, because no one has been where she has been. No one. Trump was president before. But a black woman that reached this pinnacle of success with what? How many months did she have to get half?
And to raise like what? A million?
The legacy.
The amount of money she raised? And she didn't have time to have a campaign for a year.
She had to be better.
Yes.
And if she had, right? And if she had more time, because she had not been, who knows? But this is the thing. And then it's like she's forgotten. I'm not forgetting Kamala Harris. I have gratitude for this woman who went out there. I am in awe, and I remain in awe of her. And thank you for everyone who's paying attention and listening and saying, there she goes again with Kamala Harris. Yes, and I won't stop.
Right.
Because she, and there's a legacy that she probably doesn't even know that's created. Black mm-hmm. women are joining together. Many people say, you right. know, how black people are, or women, you know, they don't want to see each other succeed and be successful. Dr. Love, you're on my show. I want to see you succeed. I want to see you be successful. And thank you for being on my show, because you're helping me to succeed mm-hmm. and be successful. And this
right.
is the legacy, her mm-hmm. Race, her positive race that she ran leads right. for us. And for you, what is your last thing to yeah. our audience?
I will go with action and start with yourself. If you're out there, whether you're a student, you're a parent, you're more seasoned. I don't ever call people old. I call them seasoned. Mm. Some people are well seasoned. But if you are seasoned in life, start with yourself and looking at your actions and why you kind of think the way you think about different groups of people or society. I think action is about starting with self, because the only person you can really control at the end of the day is you.
Yes. And Garrett, would you like
Beautiful.
To, I mean, you did share something already, but do you have anything else you might want to add as the?
Yes, please. There has never been a more vital time for us all ethnicities to really bond together. It's vital need to bond together as humans, as human beings, because when you see all of this, like the Tesla crash, as you were mentioning, Kimberly, and this AI this and AI that, we want to make sure that we don't become AI. So there's a song that a friend of mine a few years ago told me about, entitled In the Year 2525, written and performed by Zager and Evans in 1969, mind you. And there's quite a few like references to AI taking over in different wording and terminology, and much of it has already come true. But I see that Ms. Irwin here is pointing to her watch. We have another song we'd like to close out with.
Like, but before we get to that song, I want to just make sure that
Dr. Love.
For those people who would like to correspond with Dr. Love, how do I come and find you?
At Dr. Love, DRLOVE underscore H as in Harry, D as in dog, higher dimensions. At Dr. Love underscore HD.
Okay. And I love to close out with love, beauty, and joy. And for everyone, we're leaving you with that, Nat King Cole's Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
Joy to the world, the Savior reigns, let men their songs employ.
While field and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat
the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove.